Othello. The Great Gatsby, Catcher in the Rye. For most of us, our first encounter with literary classics is in the classroom. But what makes a book worthy of being studied in school? Is it the story itself? Is it the person who wrote it? There's been plenty of debate over whether we should keep clinging to the same old authors, or is it time to mix things up a bit? Because let's be honest, school reading lists have long been dominated by dead white guys. The argument is that as classrooms grow more diverse, so too should the books we put in kids' hands. Well, Dr. Hugh Gundlach is a lecturer in education at the University of Melbourne. He's analysed decades of school reading lists to uncover whose stories are being told and whose are still missing. Hugh, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Tegan. Thanks for having me.
You've audited 25 years of the reading lists from the Victorian Certificate of Education. What did you find?
Well, there's a commitment to a variety of text types. So each year students will study a play, a novel, there's short stories, poetry collections, and even what we call other literature, which can be things like travel writing or memoirs or essays. And there's quite a commitment as well to a variety of time periods. So you'll see some texts that come from ancient Greece and some from, medieval England, and then more modern and contemporary ones. But what we have seen is not as much diversity in terms of the authorship of all of these texts in terms of gender, ethnicity, nationality, and also that has a corresponding effect with the diversity of the characters in these texts and even just the settings, so the time periods and the geographic settings of these texts.
So that's a lot of different kind of data points to triangulate, I suppose. Why, spell it out for me, why is the predominance of white male and British authors as part of what you found? What sort of impact does that have on perceptions of whose stories matter?
Yeah, so I guess perhaps unsurprisingly, English literature is dominated by English-speaking authors, and historically they came from England, so we just see a huge dominance there. But, interestingly, there's not as many from Ireland or not as many from America, and certainly not as many from Australia until recently, when it appears from the data that an informal or a formal quota for the number of Australian authored texts appeared. And I think historically as well, you had to be rich to be able to have the leisure time to write. And so one of the texts that has been on the text list in the past is Virginia Woolf's A Room of One's Own, where she makes this sort of thought experiment about, imagine if Shakespeare had a sister, she might have been just as brilliant as William Shakespeare, but she wouldn't have had an opportunity to write because she was busy helping with all the chores and not being allowed to go to school. So I think we have this dominance because you had to be rich and male and, usually in the white ethnicity to be able to write literature. But I think, we'd like to change that and change what today's students think literature is and who can write it.
This is Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about the literature curriculum in schools. I asked you what books you think should be on the literature reading list. One person says Arndo's The Happiest Refugee. One recommends James by Percival Everett to be read with Huckleberry Finn. I like the pairing there. Eden Glassie by Melissa Lukashenko. And one person says Poor Fella, My Country. It's where Australia has come from, colonialism. Hugh, how do you rate my listeners' recommendations for the reading list?
Well, this is interesting because some of them I think would be on, say, English text lists rather than literature, and that's something that we're looking at next with this project. But as a former English teacher and a literature teacher in the classroom, it strikes fear into my heart because this is what happens in real life. You have all these new texts appear and you don't really know as a teacher whether they will be suitable for your students, whether you're going to be able to do them justice as a teacher, and whether there are study resources and literary criticism available to help you teach it. Not only that, but as a teacher, you usually have to pick next year's books while you are still teaching the current year, and you don't necessarily know who your students are going to be. So one solution that we've come up with this project is to create a database that has all this information in there about the authors, the characters, the settings, even to a degree the quality of the interaction between the characters in terms of gender, ethnicity and sexuality. So you might have come across the Bechdel test before. It's just this informal test about the quality of the interactions between female characters.
Two female characters have a conversation.
Exactly.
Two named female characters That's have right. a conversation about something that isn't a man. It's surprising
right.
how few works of
yes.
entertainment actually fulfill it.
That's right.
So I'm hearing you saying there's like real logistical challenges for teachers. We often talk on Life Matters about how overworked teachers are, and the last thing we want to do is sort of add to the stress. How would you like to solve this problem? Is there a certain mix of authors and stories that you would like to see? You say that you're developing some tools.
Yeah, so the idea behind the database is just to not to tell teachers, not to tell schools, not even to tell Australia what they should be reading. Everyone should just read what they want, and librarians are more qualified to do that. But in the same way that you might be able to read on the back of a food product what the ingredients are, I think the database allows all those different stakeholders to very easily access the information about those texts and make a more informed decision. So we're not providing a health star rating and saying this is a better book or this is more literary than something else. We're just going to allow teachers, if they want to, if they think, oh, I have a class of all girls, maybe I want to have more female authors, or I would like to have more Australian texts, I'm going to find one by an Australian author that's set in Australia. Or, you know, because you don't always have authors writing in the same demographics as themselves. What is emerging from the data, though, is that if you increase the diversity in gender, nationality, ethnicity, you do see a corresponding increase in the diversity of the characters. So I think it's just about providing that information to help people make more informed choices, much like you would with food, but I'm not telling people what to eat or what to read.
I like the idea of having a nutrition panel on a book. On other reasons why the schools might be resistant to change, one text says public schools in New South Wales teach Catcher in the Rye, etc., because they have no budget for new books. Are there other hidden barriers here, Hugh?
Yes, so I think that would come down to the school level because, so in Victoria, each year there's 30 texts, which is a lot to choose from and all those variety. Only five, maybe six of those will be selected by a school to be studied, and then the students will write on each of them for assessments, but they pick maybe two for the main exam. This is where we're going against what is actually enjoyable to read and worth studying versus what can students do well on and what do the teachers think they will do well on, what study resources are available. So those barriers would be what budgets do schools have to send their teachers to professional development about new texts. I think sadly a lot of teachers and schools don't teach texts with Indigenous characters or Indigenous issues because they don't feel qualified to do it justice. And then just funds for study guides and buying all those teacher copies of a text in. That would be a hurdle, of course.
Hugh, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Dr. Hugh Gundlach is a lecturer in education at the University of Melbourne.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.